What are we coming to when we need life hacks to get through the day? I apologize. I don't know what part of Texas she's from, but it's not South Texas. We're starting a new series, and it's called The Simplified Life. And to be honest with you, I started discussing this outline with myself about 4 months ago. And much of what you're going to hear, I'm saying to myself, but I know there's going to be at least one person out there with me. We're talking about how to go from exhausted to energized. How many of you would say you're exhausted? Even here, and you haven't really done anything but maybe get out of bed and throw a little bit on to get here, right? It can be exhausting. And we're going to talk about that this morning, because when we have to get life hacks to get through the day or to get through the week, if you have to have somebody show you how to clean your microwave oven, you should never be too busy, my wife says, to put something over something in the microwave. That's a cardinal sin at our house. If you don't cover it, you're going to clean it, and it's like chipping paint. We're talking about a simplified life. I'm going to share with you an illustration that a college professor used in one of his classes. He took a glass jar this tall. He had some large rocks. He put the large rocks inside the jar. Couldn't get the last one to fit, so he wiggled and jiggled and shuffled around, and he couldn't get that rock to fit. He set it down. He showed it to his students, and he says, "Can I get anything else in the jar?" And they said, "No." He set the jar down, and he pulled out some gravel, some pea gravel, and he filled it up, and he shook it around. He poured in some more gravel, and he shook it around. He goes, "Now, can I get anything else in? Is it full?" And they said, "Yes, it's full." He said, "No." He brought out some sand, and he trickled sand into it. He shook it till it settled, and he poured more sand in. He said, "Now is it full?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "No." And he brought out a pitcher of water, and he filled it with water until it was completely to the top. And he asked him, "What is the moral of this story?" Now listen, you're paying upwards of $30,000 or $40,000 a year to send your kid to school. And some of the answers they had, elementary kids could have done better at. So check with your kids, okay? Here's the moral of the story. The most important things you want in your jar, you've got to put them in first. Because he still had an important rock over here, and he couldn't get it in because of all the other stuff. Let me ask you, is your life like that right now? You can't get anything else in. You got some important things that need to go in. The bottom line is this. You have to put the most important things in your jar before anything else goes in. If not, everything else will fill that space to where you have no more time and no more energy to fill them up. We're living busier lives than we've ever lived. How about most of you? You crawl out of bed in the morning, and your objective is to put out the biggest fire that day, right? I've got to absolutely do this. I can't put it off any longer. And for most of us, our day is filled with putting out the biggest fire to the next fire to the next fire so that we can crawl back into bed at night, get up and do the whole thing over again. Let me ask you, is that anybody other than me? It's like I'm just exhausted. And here's the problem. We're doing more and getting less done than ever before. We're feeling defeated and beaten down. So we're going to talk about a simplified life. When you learn to simplify your life, then you're going to learn to be who God designed you to be, because God did not design us to be this busy, y'all. Do you know we have more time-saving devices used in the United States than anywhere else in the world? And we still don't have enough time to get everything done, do we? There's always something else that needs to be done. So what we have to learn to do is walk away from the many opportunities in favor of the few, to which God called us to and created us to be. God did not call your life to be this hectic and to be this crazy. And here's the thing, folks. We only get to live once in this lifetime. We only get one shot at this. And if we're busy doing things that don't matter, that means we'll get to the end of our life and we will not have accomplished that which God designed us to do. Now, I'm talking to people that call themselves Christians. God left you here for a reason. It wasn't just to decorate the planet. If after the day you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, if that's all he was after, he'd have taken you home before you messed it up in the next 5 to 10 minutes, right? So we've been left here for a reason, with a purpose and on purpose. And that is to be a living example of what an abundant life looks like. Remember, Jesus said, I give them life and I give them life more abundantly. What does that mean? That means more than we need, more than we'll ever have. What if we could be certain that we're living our lives as God called us to be? To live a simplified life means the very first thing you folks have got to do is unclutter your soul. You can't change your schedule. You can't change what's required of you until first you unclutter your soul. It starts in here, and I'm going to give it away right up front. With us relaunching Lifeway Church and making a lot of dramatic changes. Now listen, how many people like change? Who'll raise their hand and say, then lie and say they love change? A baby with a poopy diaper doesn't like change. So adults don't go to it either, okay? So here's what I'm doing. I want you guys to be able to simplify your life, get your priorities in God's order, because we cannot relaunch this church to be what God has called us to be so that we can do what God wants us to do better than we've ever done it without you. But you can't help if your life is still overcomplicated and you're stressed out. Three words we hear all the time are what? I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed. I'm just overscheduled. You know, when I try to catch people to ask them to get involved and do something, I didn't know we had so many marathon runners in our church. You know, you're strolling through the hall, and I'm like going, hey, can I get, and you're like going, can't wait, gotta go. And it's like, where's she going? Oh, she must be training for a marathon. You're experts at running away because you're just overwhelmed. And you don't have time to do that one more thing. But we've got to examine the core issues in our life. What are the core issues that lure us into living a frantic life? So we've got to remove the barriers that make us exhausted and overwhelmed. Now I'm going to share a story with you. Not many people, especially men, will readily admit and tell a story when they've run out of gas. Am I right, guys? We don't like to admit we run out of gas, do we? Why? Because we're men and we just don't like to admit anything that we've ever done wrong. So I was on my way to a dress-up event, and so we were dressed up, which means I was dressed a little nicer than this. And I decided not to get diesel. My truck's a diesel. I decided not to get fuel before I drove 9 miles out to the country because I knew I could do it after the dress-up event. And, you know, diesel being a little messy and everything, I didn't want to smell like diesel at a dress-up dinner event. So I go home, and I had not yet begun to pray about the needle because I've got an old truck, and it's just got a yellow light. Yours will lie to you and say, you have 52 miles, and it's a lie. You don't, because I've run out of gas in those too. So I get all the way home, get dressed up, load up, Erica. We're coming back into town, and right before we get over the river bridge, what does it do? Cuckoo, cuckoo. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, now I'm praying. Oh, Jesus, help me. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. I'm like, just don't die on the bridge, because what is the speed limit on the Green River Bridge? Whatever you want to go, as long as they're not a highway patrolman there. And I'm just thinking, it's dark. Truck's going to die right here. We're going to get hit between two semis. We're going to go into the wall. I was just horrible. But thanks be to God, it ka-chug just enough to get over where there is a shoulder. Now I've got those eyes burning at me. And I'm like, I thought we couldn't. And it's like, now I've got to make a phone call to the other people that are dressed up going to this event. Could you please come and get us so we can get a gas can so that we can go get fuel to put in the truck to get to the dress-up event. Still showed up smelling like diesel. I'm going to tell you something. We don't like to admit to anybody we've ever run out of gas. Now, let me ask you, why wouldn't a guy, mostly guys, not like to admit they've run out of gas? Anybody? Come on, share with me. If you're a guest, I don't ask rhetorical questions, okay? So it's kind of crazy what can be said up here. Do what? There you go. There's one. What's another reason why we don't like to admit we run out of gas? We don't want anybody to know that we're what? That we're so stupid that we can't take care of a basic need of fueling our vehicle is one of them, right? So we don't like to brag that we're unprepared and irresponsible, right, guys? All you guys with beards wearing plaid shirts today, we don't run out of gas. Always keep 50 gallons in the bag. We don't want to admit we run out of gas because it's embarrassing. But let me tell you what we do. We run around every day of our lives on empty. Did you know that it's really not a great thing to run around. It's like, you need to, what? Oh, I am so busy, I can't. What you just said is, I'm out of gas, but I'm not going to stop and fill up. I'm just going to keep running on empty. And we do that with our lives. We run around on empty, and you're not really bragging about, you know, because some people think that if you're busy, you're more successful. No, you're just not smart enough to stop to fill up your tank. And one day, you're going to run out of gas in your life on the Green River Bridge, and that's when you're going to say, I can't do this anymore. It's killing me and ruining everyone else's life around me. And so we find ourselves bogged down with these things. And so that means that, let me tell you folks, change requires action. And action requires an honest examination of our lives. Now, wives, please focus on your own tank and let the Lord help your husband focus on his tank. What your husband or boyfriend or significant other does not need is you going, now, this is for you. I'm taking notes, honey. I'm taking notes for you. You focus on your tank, and we'll see what God does with it. But here's the bottom line. We're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 10, and it's a story of Jesus traveling. And I want you to see what happens in this passage. So if you've got your Bible, take it out. If not, look at the screen. Now, let me set it up for you. Jesus and his disciples are traveling. Anytime they came to this town called Bethany, they would hang out at a house of three siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' best friend. Mary and Martha, they're all brother and sisters. They're all friends. Now listen, it says, now while they were traveling along, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now look at the next verse. Now we start to get complicated. And if you see verse 39, it says, she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Now, listen, stop right there. Mary and Martha are at home. We don't know if Lazarus is there. It doesn't say. But it says that when Jesus walked in, now he'd often hang out with them because he's out on the road teaching and preaching and being ridiculed, right? And he comes to their house and he's sitting down and Mary runs and sits at his feet. Oh, Jesus, what's up? What's going on out there? I'm hearing all kind of rumors. Yeah. Really? Oh, let's just hang out. She wanted nothing more than to sit at his feet, which means she just wanted to have conversation with Jesus. Now, it gets complicated in verse 40. Here's where it gets a little nasty. But Martha, being what? Say it with me. Being distracted with what? All her preparations. What do you do when Jesus comes over? You got to clean the house. Let me tell you what I like to do at my house. If I know we're going to have company, then we'll clean like we don't really clean unless we know we're having company. No, we have a clean house. Erica's kind of fanatic about the clean house thing. But me, it's like when you know there's going to be a lot of people at your house, clean the half bathroom, the living room and the kitchen and the dining room. They're not going into bedrooms. Just shove everything in there. Stand in front of the kitchen sink. They don't have to look under it. But no, she says it's all got to get cleaned. So sometimes when we have church events at our house never looks better. The sad thing is, she expects it to stay that way. And it doesn't. So Martha was so busy with all the preparations. Now, Jesus comes to your house unannounced. You're going to have to cook a meal, right? You're going to have to clean some stuff up. Dog's been on the couch. You got to fix that. Everything's out of place. You got a throw blanket on there. You got a pillow over here. It just looks like somebody lives in that house, doesn't it? Listen to this. Now listen to what she says. This question is an amazing question. She's frazzled. It says she was distracted by all of her preparations. So she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all the serving? Now, listen. Get it? She's asking the creator of the universe a question like he doesn't know. Look at it again. Don't you care that she's left me to do everything? It's not enough that she questioned the creator of the universe. She now stomps her foot, shakes a wooden spoon, and says, tell her to help me, Jesus. Come on, y'all. If you don't have an imagination, borrow mine. She comes in, taps him with the wooden spoon. Hey, buddy, I'm in here. She's sitting there. Tell her to get up and help me. We ain't got time for this. We got food. Listen, if you keep one of them Stouffer frozen lasagnas in your freezer, you will always have food. Now, I know the directions say it takes 1 hour and 50 minutes to prepare, but that's a lie. If you will pop that frozen slab and put it in the microwave for 30 minutes, it'll cook in the oven in 20. Take half the time off. And see, I'm already sharing life hacks with you right there. Keep a frozen lasagna. Whoo, she's upset. And then she tells him, you tell her to get in there and help me. Now let's look at the next verse, because now it's Jesus' turn. He says, but the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha. Now stop right there. If they'd been in Texas, he'd have said, Martha, bless your heart. You know what bless your heart means, right? You poor stupid thing. When you look at an ugly, somebody's got an ugly baby, and you say, whoo, bless his heart. That means that's an ugly baby. That's what bless your heart means, so don't use it out of context if you're not from Texas. He says, Martha, bless your heart. He said this. He says, you were what? Say these two words with me. You were worried and bothered about so many things. Are you a Martha? You are worried and bothered about so many things. Now look at the next verse. There's a promise for the Marys in this world. But only one thing is necessary. He said, I don't need a big fancy meal. I don't need the house to be cleaned. There's only one thing. Look at this. And for Mary has chosen the good parts which shall not be taken from her. When you choose the good part to set at Jesus' feet, he says that'll never get taken away from you. You know what we need to do in our life? We need to stop being so distracted. Please go back to the verse where it says that, verse 40, where Martha was distracted. Mary was distracted. Do you know what this word means in the original language when it was written? The word distracted, I'm going to read you the definition. It means to be mentally confused, to be deranged by grief or anxiety. So the next time somebody calls you crazy, they're telling the truth. To be mentally deranged because of grief or anxiety. Now, 99% of the times, we suffer from the anxiety side of it, right? Y'all know what anxiety is, right? Anxiety and Xanax, they rhyme. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Xanax. I was reading this about a year ago. There is so much Xanax in the water of major cities that the fish are getting stoned. We're flushing more Xanax down the drain, and it's filtering through your body at such high levels, there's still enough that even after it's processed at the water treatment plant, see, they don't have a Xanax filter, y'all. They can filter out everything else, but not Xanax. And the fish in the bay outside of New York are stoned. Do you think we're taking this anxiety thing to the nth degree, folks? We're creating it ourselves. We're forcing ourselves into these things. So let me ask you the question. How full is your bucket? See my bucket up here? Let's use the bucket example. Are you empty? Are you full? Which one are you? If we were honest and we had the time and each one of you came up here with nobody else looking, I'm pretty sure you'd be within this area right here, right? Some of you came in on fumes. You were going whoop, whoop when you walked in the door today. We have to take an honest assessment. But let me ask you, how does it feel? How does it feel when you're down here? How does that feel? Anybody? I tell you what, I can't think straight. And when you say things and you make decisions here in your life, you most of the time live to regret them, don't you? I mean, you say things like, you look back and you go, oh, I was possessed by stupid when I said that. Which leads to many times you have to apologize. If you're a halfway godly person, you got to say, you know, look, I was running on stupid when I said that. I'm sorry. Let me ask you, don't you just get tired of having to apologize? Don't you? Don't you just get tired of that? Hey, the best way to not have to eat crow is to not regurgitate stupid things. What's another way you feel when you're running down here? Worn out physically and emotionally, right? You just got nothing in your bucket. You got nothing in your bucket. The worst way in the world to feel is on empty, and you have to make decisions about things that matter. But let me ask you this. How do you feel when you're up here? When you're full, when you're up here where God wants you to be, Jesus said, I've come to give them life and life more abundantly. What does abundant life mean? Abundant doesn't mean your bucket is full. Abundant means that God keeps pouring in and it's always overflowing. It's always overflowing. I'm like, Lord, I'm praying for the overflowing part. I got the life part, but the abundant, I'm not feeling it right now. Well, I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, the reason as a believer your life isn't overflowing is you have poked holes in your bucket, or you have allowed other people to put holes in your bucket. You've allowed people to make demands of you. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to live like this anymore. Until you make a decision in your life, I pray you make it today. I didn't say change everything today. Till you make a decision, I refuse to live defeated any longer. I refuse to live depleted any longer. One lady told me, she said, oh, I'm just so worn out. I said, why? She said, well, when I get out of school, I have to load up child X and take them here. Child Y goes there, child Z goes there, and then I have to pick up X to go there, and then Y goes here, and then once I left Z at the place, and all I do is run all day long. I said, why did you let your kids sign up for all that? Oh, no, we put them in it because they need to be well-rounded. I said, well, if they're well-rounded, you are grounded. You got nothing left because you're doing this. And you know what research tells us? Most of your kids don't want to do all that stuff. But if that'll make daddy spend time with me, I'll do it. If it makes mommy happy, I'll do it. And the bottom line is, your kids need to have you, mom and dad. They need you. Somebody said, well, I spend time with my child at this event. No, you don't. You stand on the sideline while your kid is out there. You go out to eat with your family. Have you seen families nowadays when they go out to eat? We were out and I told Eric, I said, look over there. Are they texting each other? What are they doing? They're having family time. What have we come to? I guess we need to have a big pickle jar when we go out to eat. Set it on the table and everybody put their phones in it. You know, we used to do that a lot at youth around here to keep the kids off their phones. Just put them all in a bucket. We got to make a decision. We're not going to stay that way. But before you can replenish your buckets, first we got to fix the holes in them. Because if not, you'll pour into something that just keeps coming out. That means that we have to learn to say no to our bosses, maybe. Or to our spouses, or to our kids, or to all the other promises that we've made. Because, you know what, you've got some God rocks that won't fit, and it's because you've got so much of everything else in there. And all I'm going to tell you, when that last day comes, when you stand before Him, He's going to ask you about the God rocks, not the pea gravel, not the sand, and not the water. He wants to know about the God rocks. Why weren't they there? Well, there wasn't enough time. But Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's time enough for everything that needs to be done. Are you putting the God rocks in your life first? Is that what is consuming all of your life? Is it the God rock stuff? Is it the big things that God requires? Because a simplified life doesn't mean only doing more with less. It just means doing the things that God requires of us, the things that God wants. God did not leave us here to live a crazy life. God did not leave us here to be strung out on Xanax. Or counseling. He didn't. It's not what He wanted for us. We've got this crazy idea that I need to be able to live in this house. I need to drive this. My kids need to go to that school. I need to be this person in society. And God says, just be who I created you to be. The greatest accomplishment any person can make in this world is to be a God follower. And if you're a parent, whether your kids are 2 months, 2 years, or 20 years old, you need to be pouring into their lives. Because at your funeral, do you want people to pile around that box and go, oh, look at Glenn. So peaceful. Never saw him like this before. Actually, never seen him this still. But my, wasn't he a busy guy? Wasn't he a busy guy? I don't want him to say that. What do you want your kids to remember about you, folks? What do you want them to say? My mom was so busy. My mom was so busy for Jesus that she didn't spend time with Jesus. My dad loved the Lord so much that we were at every sporting event there was, and we came to church if we had time. See, if you don't put that God, if church isn't that God rock to go in first, it won't be there. And you'll never convince your children that church is that important unless you're there. Because your children learn first from you. But we've got to fix those buckets. Listen, as a pastor, I could run 18 hours a day and pray the pray the other hours in a 24-hour period, and it wouldn't be enough to make some of you happy. It wouldn't. If I sit down with each one of you and you filled out my schedule of what you wanted me to do, trust me, it wouldn't be enough. So you got to learn to come back. Because if you don't fill this thing up, and you're responsible for filling this up, if you don't fill this up, because listen, nobody else will. Let me make it very clear, because pastors are some of the most hard-headed people I've ever met. I live with one. Listen, it is no member of this church's fault. It is not the advisor's fault that my bucket is empty. I have to take responsibility. Whose fault is it that this bucket is empty in Glenn's life? Whose is it? Say it louder like you really mean it. Whose fault is it? That's Glenn's fault. And if your bucket is empty right now, do not blame everybody else in your life. You had to let them get close enough to your bucket to put a hole in it, didn't you? You got to learn to say no sometimes. Say no to the things that won't change this world and say yes to the things that will. Please stop mistaking busyness for godliness. When things got too busy for Jesus, he would do what? He'd just pull away from the crowds. He'd get by himself. He'd go out in a boat. And he'd just pray. And then he'd fall asleep. He'd go and pray. He'd get away from the crowds. You've got to do things to get away and do this. Here's the thing. Some people get upset if they think they need time off to relax. See, I was like that for a long time. For the majority of my life, I was like going, if I have a waking moment, I've got to spend it doing God stuff. But listen, I'm like you. If I stay here, what do I have to give you? What can I give you if I'm right here? You're getting nothing out of me worth anything. That means I've got to get my bucket filled up. You've got to get your bucket filled up, folks. You've got to find what it is you're missing in your bucket. And how do you get that thing filled up? So you take personal responsibility for the control of your bucket. And I just want to go over five things, suggestions for you here. First, I say this to you. Five keys to replenishment. The first one is this, God time. Spend some time alone with God. Anybody here a night person? I'm a morning and a night person because I've got ADD. Anybody here a morning person? Like you love mornings? Yeah, I do too after two cups of coffee. I do. Anybody here a night person? You're just like, oh, I'm alive at night. Okay, y'all are who I call now. I got y'all. I'm calling y'all at night. Hey, I need this done. Take care of it. I'm going to bed. But you've got to take some time alone with God. If it's 15 minutes in the morning, find a place in your house, because that's where most of us wake up every day, is in our house. Find a place, find a chair, find a room, find some place that you can just go and just read a couple of verses and say, God, I really need you today. And I want to start uncluttering my soul. And I want to start being what you want me to be. And so you got to lead me to this simplified life. Do you know what happens when you pray like that? He shows up. Find time alone with God. Maybe today you just need to say, God, I need you in my life like never before. But you need to get to where you care about what he thinks more than anyone else. Most of us spend too much of our time in the day worried about what other people think about us, about how we look, how we dress, what we drive, where we live, and our reputation. And I'm going to tell you something. None of those things or those people will be standing on the day of judgment where God stands, and it's you and him. Does that make sense? He doesn't care if you were a member of the country club or the just got out of jail club. He wants to know, what did you do with all that I gave you? What did you do with my son Jesus? Oh, I followed him. How far did you follow him? Well, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I got baptized. And we went to church about three times a year. My goodness. We're like overachievers. Really? Is that a God rock moment for you? You're putting him first in those things? Because next week we're going to talk about building a schedule. Listen, until you get your soul detoxed, until you deal with the core issues in your soul and you make a commitment to realize where you're at and how many holes are in your bucket and what you're going to do to fix that bucket, we can't start filling that bucket up. You ever try to fill a bucket with holes in it? Maybe pray it won't leak. We can't do that anymore. So spend that time alone with God. The next one would be family. Spend time with your family. I mean, with just your family. without referees, whistles, and anything else. Spend time with just your family. I think, here's a test. Go home and try this. Get your whole family in one room and just stare at each other. See if it's not the most awkward moments in your day. Why are you looking at me like that? Because your family never does that anymore. You pass each other. Going to work, school, events, everything that's got their time and your time. And how many of those are necessities? And how many of those are things to build upon? Is that a God rock moment you're passing each other with? Just spend time with your family. That means five-year-olds don't hold iPhone 6s in their hands. Listen, don't tell me you're struggling financially when your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old has got an iPhone 6. And I've got to catch him in the hall and say, hey, I updated ISO 10. Why don't I have that? Oh, well, I've got that feature. Really? I don't have that. Oh, well, let me show you how to do it. Well, I'm a little embarrassed they know more about technology. I'm more embarrassed that they're walking around with that and parents are crying poor. What does a 10-year-old need a phone for? Well, we use it to keep them busy. I remember when a stick and a tire could keep you busy out in the country. You know? I remember when just 2 or 3 to 30 acres could keep you busy and exploring all day, and every day you wake up, it's a new adventure. Now, here in town, you'd have to say, I remember when 10 city blocks could keep a kid busy. Remember when the streetlights came on, you knew it was time to come home. Mom didn't call you. She didn't remind you. You didn't set your timer. Streetlights came on. You got home or you missed dinner. Spend time with God. Spend time with your family. And find some satisfying work. I know in our economy right now, sometimes right now with jobs and the economy in DeWitt County the way it is right now, sometimes you got to do what you can do just to get by. And that's fine. But listen, you need to find something you love to wake up doing. I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, or 60. If you're not doing what you love and you can't fall in love with it, start praying. God, give me wisdom. Show me what I need to do. Do I need to go back to school? What do I need to invest in so that I can wake up and do what I love to do? Because when you wake up loving what you're going to do, you do what you love. And your day isn't miserable. Do satisfying work. Listen to what King Solomon said in the Old Testament. He said, it is good and proper for people to find satisfaction, replenishment, in their labor. It is good and proper. We should be going for this as a goal. The next one is recreation. Now, sometimes people feel guilty about recreation. But the word recreation means to recreate. That's where you get your energy from. Recreation is one of the things you can put in your bucket. I used to feel bad because I loved to read. Because when I was in elementary school, we had our readers. We'd all sit down there, you know. Y'all remember the books? The little orange one had the dog, and he would run. And I don't know why every time we read about this dog, he's always running everywhere. But you're sitting in two circles, and they had the fast kids and the slow kids. You can guess which one I was in. They seated you by how slow you were in the slow circle, and I was always last. I kept praying for another dumb kid to show up in school so that I wouldn't be the last. I'm sorry. See, run. And I was horrible. I was embarrassed every time I had to read out loud. Absolutely embarrassed. So I decided I would just become a reader. And I read and I read and I read, and it took a long time. And every time I'd get punished as a child, my father would punish us with the Reader's Digest. My father had a collection of Reader's Digest back to the very first volumes. And when we would get punished, you would have to go do the words to enrich word power. Y'all know that section? The vocabulary words. My dad would make us write them down 25 times each with the definition. And then he'd make you read the stories and come tell him what it meant. Listen, if you can't read, that is punishment. We didn't have timeout. In my house, timeout was the time it took for the blood to get back into my father's hands so he could swing at you a few more times with that belt. And I felt bad about reading, even today, not as much as I used to, but I used to feel bad. I'm like, going, man, I'd love to read that novel, love to read that book. But I think, man, if I've got time to read, I need to be reading my Bible or a book about the Bible or a book about reading the Bible. I'm like, I need to be doing spiritual things all the time. No, I just need to relax and do some reading. I'll share with you this. Many of you know this. Months ago, I took 3 weeks off from the church. And I needed to be gone because my life had just gotten so overwhelmed and so crazy. The way I'd been living the 6 months prior to that had just worn me out, and I didn't know how to say no. And so I left, and I went on a sabbatical, which is a fancy word for preachers that are that are depressed and burnt out and about ready to quit ministry, you know? And so I went and I found a place to go, and it was a great place because the people that ran this retreat center, they're psychologists and Christian counselors, you know. And they had used to be missionaries, and they found themselves in the same place. So when they retired, they started this ministry for burnout preachers and ministry workers. And it's up in the mountains in Arkansas, and it's a beautiful place. Saw it online. When I found out they were counselors, I thought, great, I need some help. And the best thing about it was it didn't cost that much. And many of the people here chipped in and helped. Thank you if you were one of those people. So I said, hey, I'm thinking about maybe taking 4 or 5 days. What do y'all think? And she said, ha ha, over the phone. She said, you need 3 weeks. I'm like, oh, don't have 3 weeks. She said, if you don't have 3 weeks, then you need 3 weeks. So we talked on the phone, and she said, Glenn, you just need to come, and we'll work it out when you get here. So I told the advisors, I'm really thinking about a week or two, and they're like, nope, if she said three, you go three. So I went, this husband and wife ate dinner at their house the first night I'm there, and they go, what are your plans? And I'm like, well, I got a lot of plans for 3 weeks. I'd like to, and they said, shh. If you want our help, let us help you. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? I pulled out my notepad and my pen, because I need direction, you know? If you're like me, it's got to be written down, you know? And I pulled it out, and I said, okay, what do I do? They said, we're going to divide this 3 weeks into 1 week of exercises. I was like, great, what do I do? They said, the first week, nothing. And I wrote, what? What do you mean? I stayed in the most awesome little cabin on the side of a mountain. I mean, if I'd have just had internet, TV, and a gun, well, a bigger gun, I'd have had so much fun. You know what I'm saying? And I said, what do you mean? We went and looked at the cabin. We walked down the trail to get there, and I just thought, if I hear the dueling banjos, I'm out of here. Because you're walking down trails, and I'm like, oh, nah. That's why nobody comes back. You don't see anybody rating this on Yelp because nobody lives. We get through their beautiful little cabin on the side of a mountain, and they said, now, there's no TV. There's no internet. There's no nothing here, but here's a handheld radio. If you need to get in touch with us or we with you, we'll use this. Sole means of communication? Yep. I said, I bet my phone will work here because I'm like, I said, I better get a signal. She said, you're not going to get a signal. She said, the first week, all I want you to do is just rest and relax. I'm like, I really don't need that much rest. I'm pretty wound up. I can do just rest. Well, here's what I didn't know. After about day three, I thought, wow, I'm tired. I'm so tired, I just get up to eat, to take a nap, to go back to bed for a week. So at the end of the first week, I'm like, man, I'm so glad that's all over with, because I had to speak out loud about day four because I didn't know what my voice sounded like anymore. I do a lot of talking. And I made friends with a couple of birds and squirrels because I would take bird seed out there and put it on the rail because I needed a friend and there was nobody there. You know, and so they would fight, the bird and the squirrel, and I'd taunt them by putting a bigger pile of sunflower seeds here than there, you know. And they said, come on, let's have dinner again. I said, no, y'all come to the cabin, I'll cook for you, because I haven't got to cook for anybody in a long time. So I made them a really nice roast and everything. And they said, whoo, man, you put on the dog. And I'm like, oh, man, it's not dog, it's cow. And we sat there. And I said, what do I do for week two? Well, what do we do now? They said, just want you to relax and do some reading or something like. Just take it easy. I said, great. They came back 3 days later. They drove up, because they stay away, they leave you alone. They drove up, you know, on a mule, because cars don't fit. And they came inside and said, hey, come on in. Glad to see a human being. Well, I had books spread everywhere because I took the backseat of my truck this deep with books that I've either read, that I wanted to reread, or brand new books that I want to read that I hadn't got to read yet because I love to read. And they said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've read the New Testament 6 times. I've read 18 books on leadership, 18 books on how to do things and ministry and all that. And they're like, stop. And I said, no, I'm not done. I've built 20 sermons all the way till the second week in January of 2017. They said, that's not what you're supposed to do. We just want you to read. I'm like, I don't have anything to read that doesn't have to do with church or the Bible. So I went to their house and they gave me some novels and some old Louis L'Amour. Y'all know Louis L'Amour novels and stuff. And they just gave me some books that had nothing to do with church. And I just sat out on the front porch, enticed the squirrel and the bird to fight, and I just would read all day long. And I forgot how much fun it is just to read for fun. Week three was put the books away and just pray and think and talk about God and talk to Him and listen to Him for the last week. Folks, that was the hardest thing to do, sit still and listen to God. But the thing was, I was a captive audience. There was no one else there. It forced me to come to the place where I need to say what I'm saying to y'all because I've said it to myself first. And I'll be honest with you, I don't ever want to go back to the crazy I was before. I'm still crazy. I'm just a different kind of crazy now. But I've had to learn to say no. I've had to learn to say no. Because even if I said yes to everything every church member here wanted me to do, it still wouldn't be enough. There'd still be people unhappy. Still be people that they felt got shortchanged on something. And so I just deal with that. And the last one is the toughest one for me. It's exercise. Someone would say that I might need to visit the gym once in a while. Okay, I've got a membership. Started back going. Eric and I started walking. We decided to start walking again. And so we walked about 3.5 miles, and I thought I'd been run over by a rhinoceros. I thought, it can't be that bad. It's only like 89 degrees. And I'm like, this is 89? These gravel roads go like that. But we're back at it again. We did this last year, and we trained for 6 months, and we went and did an ultra marathon in the middle of the desert. And Chubby made it. See what I'm saying? But I put my mind to something. But I just got lost in everything else. But exercise leads to good diet, which leads to getting some good sleep. I was averaging less than 4 hours sleep a night for 3 to 4 years. And I wasn't half the person you see today 5 years ago. I've allowed all of that stuff to pile up on me. And the thing is, I had to come to the realization that I was here and I was always running on empty. And so now my goal is to stay here. But you know what? I had to go and patch a bunch of holes in my bucket. And I have to guard my bucket. You better guard your bucket. And don't let anybody put holes in it. That means you've got to learn to say no about some things. You've got to learn to prioritize your life and do what's this. Because you need to begin every day with that full bucket. Because when you're on empty, you're dangerous, aren't you? Ask your family. You are dangerous. For some of you, you've been running on empty so long, your family doesn't know any other way. They would be surprised if mom and dad, they walked in, they're just sitting at the table and say, hey, sit down, let's talk. Oh, and I know as a teenager what you're thinking. What did they find out about? Because it's just like when you get pulled over by the cops, when they say, do you know why I pulled you over? Don't ever volunteer anything, because maybe that's not why they pulled you over. Well, I'm thinking about 5 things that I did wrong. Which one did you catch me on? But if you just sit down with your family and said, hey, why don't we just chill? But you know what? There's always something to do, isn't there? There's always one more thing that needs to get done. I only have this many days or hours off a week, and so I try to cram everything into my relaxing time. Have you ever gone on vacation and had to come back and go to work just to get some rest? That's not a vacation, folks. That is not a vacation. We need to learn how to get filled up and stay there. God created us to live with enough energy. God created us and gave us enough energy in our life to accomplish everything He wants to get done. So if you say you can't accomplish what God wants you to get done in your life every day, it's because you got too much junk in your bucket. Or you have too many holes in your bucket right now. So we have to get creative and we have to talk seriously, because this is your future. Is this how you want to live the rest of your life? Let me just ask you. How much longer can you live the way you're living right now? It got so bad for me that I had to start talking to a counselor every week to just get through the day. Are you so busy that you couldn't pull away to get a few days with God? Because if you're that busy, then you're too busy. Because if you're always on empty, what do you really have to give? You're not really giving anybody anything right now. So maybe you need that time just to pull back. And you will be far better at what God created you to be. You'll learn to love Him more effectively. You'll learn to love your family better. And you'll leave a legacy for your family that shows that you take God's calling on your life seriously. If the greatest attribute about mom and dad is that they were busy and got a lot of things done, eventually your kids will grow up enough and read enough pages in the Bible to realize that God did not call us to be busy and get stuff done. He called us to love Him and put Him first and to live that simple life. There's a lot of no's that need to be started today, right now. Make a commitment to say no to some things. Now, that's kind of ironic, because in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you to simplify your life so much that Lifeway Church becomes one of the God rocks you say yes to. But we got to get the clutter out of our souls so that we can work on our schedules, so that we can work on the rest of our lives. So the next steps, and you're going to pick these up outside, okay? I know it's a little different for some of you today because you're such in the habit. You're used to the 9-page bulletin and everything. You have plenty of room for tic-tac-toe and where are we going to eat And sometimes I find it humorous that you guys leave those here just for me to read when I pick up trash in the auditorium. Where are we going to eat? I don't know. Depends on what time he leaves. Well, I don't know. What time do you think you quit? I don't know. The outline he's already done with, but he's still going. You know, things like that. I know y'all do it just for fun. But everything I've said, every verse I've used, a greeter can hand it to you when you walk out the door. We've put enough stuff on there for you that you could literally start a small group Bible study just off that piece of paper in your hand. If you wanted to start a small group Bible study, you could do it with just that one piece of paper. And on the front of it, where it's all about everything I said today. And on the back of it is everything that goes with this entire series, and you'll see it changing every week. I encourage you to pick one up and take it home. All the Bible verses are even printed out there for you. We do this to help you so that we can be a blessing. But I'm going to leave you with homework now, folks. Two things. The first one is take an honest assessment. You need to ask yourself, how did I get this way? Did you do it or did you let people do it to you? Ask God to give you insight. Who are you really trying to please by being this busy and having this crazy of a life? Who are you trying to please? Did somebody else set this standard for you? Because it wasn't God. Or is this self-imposed? We have a ton of overachievers at Lifeway. And I promise you, the day they put you in the box, there'll be a list of things you didn't get done. And when that day comes, it won't matter what they were. I pray that we leave a legacy for our families. The next one, the second piece of homework is I want you to craft a custom replenishment plan. Now go back to the five things we just talked about and use those. But I encourage you to do this. I challenge you to find two things on that next steps that you're going to pick up when you walk out the door. Find two of those things. Customize two of those things that you can commit to doing starting tomorrow. And then find one more that you will commit to starting by the end of next week. I'm not asking you to change the world. I'm just asking you to take baby steps. Everything starts with small steps. For those of you that are tired of living the way you're living right now, the Bible says this is the only way out. Because you're not going to win the lottery and you're not going to get to live on a desert island. God put us here to carry out His work. And we can't be going around crazy like we are and accomplish what He wants.